This is WordPress Weekly, your source for the latest news, plugins, and interviews with influential leaders in the WordPress community. Here's your hosts, Jeff Chandler and Marcus Couch.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 188, 12 away from 200 of WordPress Weekly for Wednesday, April 15th. Happy Tax Day, everybody, 2015. I'm your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by Marcus Couch. And Marcus, did you get your taxes filed early or on time this year?
I sent them to the post office this morning.
Oh, there you go. You and about a couple millions of other people.
Yes. Nice to be on the show, Jeff. Thanks for having me. And, April 15th, it's always kind of a nutty day period as far as that goes. We've had a crazy week in regular news, rockets that don't land right on barges, weird plug-in releases, all that kind of stuff. So glad to be on the show and finally be on some solid ground here.
Yes, after you and I have both experienced the Orthodox Easter holiday, which was very good. I never thought I'd say this, but I'm getting tired of meat. I'm ready for some salad. So, other than that, good holidays. And a lot of people were yammering and cheering about landing the rocket on a barge, and yet, we landed the European Space Agency landed a probe on a comet. And it seemed like a lot of people were cheering for this barge rocket landing more so than the freaking probe landing on a comet. I don't understand that.
Well, the logistics of it is why. And I know this is not Rocket Weekly, but
It could turn into that.
But if you can salvage the rocket intact like that with all the parts and everything else and not get salt water in it and everything else, then all you have to do is just gas it up and go, right?
Ah, okay. So, yeah. So the whole
saves a lot of money.
Reusable thing.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of dumping it back into the ocean and it burns up through the atmosphere.
That's right. It just gets an update, just like WordPress is about to.
Yes, this is true. However, before we get to the news of the week, I want to let everybody know, because there are tickets still available, that today at noon Pacific time, and who knows when you're going to be listening to this, but tickets for WordCamp Orange County have gone on sale. It will be at Costa Mesa, California, June 6th and 7th. Right now, tickets cost $40 each, and there's 62 remaining. So if you plan on going to WordCamp Orange County, please purchase your tickets as soon as possible because they will sell out quickly, if not by the end of tonight, probably during the day tomorrow, or at least by the end of this week, by Friday, for sure. Because this is one of those work camps that sells out quickly, and based on some of the people I've talked to who have attended WordCamp Orange County before, they say this is one of their top. It's in their list of top WordCamps. They always have a great time, so I'm very much looking forward to it, and aside from going to WordCamp Orange County, which you will also be there, you and I will have a chance to get together and see each other in person again. So can't wait.
Yeah, that's my home base, WordCamp, and the guys that run it, some of the contributors to it, of course, Jason Tucker, Chris Lemma, Steve Zenget. Steve runs the Orange County meetup group, which has just about 1,200 people in it. So that's almost a WordCamp in itself every Monday. But it's going to be fun. So I can't wait till you get out here and experience where I live. I think that'll be fun.
I'm going to come in a couple days early, and maybe you can actually show me what this Laguna Beach is all about.
Yes, I definitely will.
And I definitely want to have a good carne asada.
You got it.
Yes, awesome. So with that said, WordPress 4.2, the first release candidate, was pushed out earlier today. Now, in between or since release in beta 4 last week, the core development team has put in over 140 changes. That's quite a lot between the last beta and the RC candidate. Now, what a release candidate is a version of WordPress that they think could ship today, that it's done. However, with millions of WordPress sites out there and all those different plugins and combinations, this is really crunch time for testing WordPress and making sure that all their ducks or in a row. So if you have the opportunity, if you know what you're doing, if you have a staging site set up or a local server set up where you could test WordPress 4.2 with the combination of all your plugins you use on your live site, please do so. And if you encounter any issues, post in the alpha beta support forum on WordPress.org. Now, pending, there's no blockers or huge issues to deal with, we may be talking about the release of WordPress 4.2 next Wednesday on next Wednesday's show. But that's, you know, if all goes well and nothing major has found in between now and then. So keep tabs on that. And then when it's released, if it looks like it's going to be released next week, we'll let you know about it and also give you a rundown on all the cool things that are in 4.2.
Yes. Now let's continue the trend of the fun Twitter conversation that you and I had today. You call it WordPress 4.2. I like to call it WordPress 4.20.
Oh, jeez. Oh, is there any significance to that number?
Well, we could do funny, you know, 420 names. Like, I wish it would be called Marley for Bob Marley.
I was thinking of Snoop. Yeah. And then, you know, the obvious ones are Cheech or Chong. And we had a recommendation by Jeff Manson to call it Willie.
Willie's good. But I think everybody's got to be dead. I think everybody who's had WordPress named after them thus far has been dead. So I don't wish that on Willie Nelson.
So I don't know. I have no idea. I'm not, my weedology is not up to par in terms of knowing some famous people who really did the weed. So I'm a little bit out of it.
You've got WordCamp Orange County. I'll give you a quick refresher.
Yes. As there are many dispensaries in California, so
that's another thing. Let's rename the repository.
Instead of the WordPress plugin directory becomes. Oh, okay. We've already gone off the rail here.
That's what happens when we have no guest on the show. It's just us having fun. This is like the after show. This is like the Friday thing that we do and hang out in.
Now, just to cover my bases, we do not advocate drug paraphernalia or any of that stuff. We're just having fun here. We're not saying go out and get high. Of course, unless you have a doctor's note. I mean, you know, if you have a doctor's note, that's okay. And if you're in the right state, that's okay.
But we're just having fun here. Just musicians. That's all. That's all I'm talking about. Nothing else. It's a funny number. It would be funny to coincide with a like-minded musician.
So we'll just have to see next week and see if any of those names are being chosen. It's a very likely chance that none of them, that we are very much incorrect, but appreciate that little game we played there with the release cycle.
Yeah, there is no chance that any of the things that we mentioned are going to be correct. None.
This is true.
Zero probability.
On a little bit more of a serious note here, iThemes patched a vulnerability that, guess what, affected all versions of the plugin. Now, this is both the free version and the pro version, and in fact, Better WordPress Security 3.0, which was the last version before it switched over to iThemes Security, even that is affected by this vulnerability. So the vulnerability allowed potentially dangerous JavaScript to run when viewing 404 logs. So if you had 404 detection feature enabled within the plugin, data about requests for non-existent pages, they were stored in the database. And what attackers could do is potentially add JavaScript code to those page requests, which would then be stored. And, you know, there's all kinds of bad things that could happen because of that. So the update fixes a security flaw that would allow those scripts to run when viewing the security log or logs page. So pretty significant vulnerability there. I mean, when you have something that affects all branches of a plugin in all versions, that's pretty serious stuff. In fact, it was so serious that they actually coordinated with the WordPress.org security team, and they pushed out an automatic update to those websites that are on web servers that support that kind of thing, unless you manually turned off automatic updates for plugins. If you use iTheme Security, you should have been auto-updated. If not, definitely by now you should have been auto-updated because this was back on – this was yesterday news came out about this. But if you haven't, definitely make sure you upgrade iTheme Security. If you're using it, make sure you're running the latest version, because this is a pretty serious bug.
I wonder who you call when you want to do that full flush with the WordPress team as far as a forced update. Is there a bat signal in the shape of a WordPress logo that goes up and somebody sees it?
So what you do is you contact, I believe it's WordPress@plugins.org. And well, there's a whole article about why, when, and how, and the criteria that things have to exist before they consider pushing an update out. I'll link to that in the show notes. I think you have to contact plugins@wordpress.org and then contact them and say, hey, look, I want to get in touch with the security team. The people behind an email address will forward you to the security team. You work with them. You get your patch done. You test it out. They look at it. They review all the codes, make sure nothing major is going to happen, and they will push out the fix automatically. And then that's when the whole disclosure period happens, where you can, okay, now since the automatic update is already in progress, now everybody else can go ahead and disclose the vulnerability. And that's generally how it works. I mean, there's more to it than that, the instructions for how to get in touch with the core WordPress security team to coordinate with them are available on that document. I can't remember it offhand, so I'll link to it in the show notes in case any of our listeners who happen to be plugin authors are interested in taking that course of action if it comes to that, if you run into this situation.
Yeah, well, it's good that we have that option, that nuclear option, if we need it, right?
Yes, it's better to push on an automatic update, especially, I mean, some of these plugins have a million plus active installs if you look at some of the stats on WordPress.org. So it just makes sense, you know, push out the automatic update. Maybe it's just a one line of code that's changed that fixes the issue. In this particular case, I don't know how many lines it was, but it was just a matter of a fix to eliminate the security issue. There's no major features included in the bug. So generally, it shouldn't affect anyone's website. You should be able to automatically update, and it'll be like nothing ever happened. And those are the best updates. Now I know the security team really doesn't like it when a plugin author bundles features and bug fixes and everything else into a security update, because then you really run the risk of something else causing haywire, making us a website go be white screen. So that's actually a good point, where if you're a plugin developer out there and you're listening to the show and you want to do a security update, please only push and commit the changes that deal with that security update. Don't add bug fixes. Don't add features, because you're just increasing the risk that something else is going to happen. Just push out the update, let people get fixed, then push out whatever other updates you want that have those features.
Exactly. That's like the analogy of that is, hey, I broke my thumb and I'm going to get a cast on it, and I'm also going to get my nails done. Right?
Well, that's a hell of an analogy there, Mike. Yeah.
Only for somebody that's broken their thumb. But
I will not be doing that if I break my thumb. I will have my nails done before I break my thumb.
There you go.
I guess. I don't know. So tell us, you have this here in the show notes. Tell us what this thing is, this Ionic Plus WordPress. It's something to do with a mobile app.
It does. Scott Bollinger, who made the App Presser and the other app incarnation that he made.
Reactor,
yes. Reactor, I think, is built on this Ionic framework. And he has put Ionic in GitHub. And so we have a link to it in the show notes as to write on GitHub. And he's even got some demos of it as to how it works. But if you are interested in it, I would highly suggest taking a look at it and, you know, test it out with Scott and try it out on your own. It seems like it's something that you can just build that will push and automatically grab all of the new posts and all of the posts actually within your WordPress installation. So if you wanted to turn your site into an actual app, this is a good bridge in which to do it. So he's written the whole code. He's got it all on GitHub. And so you can check it out for yourself. Link in the show notes.
And it looks like it's utilizing the WordPress REST API, or at least a version of it, maybe slightly modified version of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I see down here he's got a little note that says mostly this app is for fun, but he's made it available for anybody else to try it out and see what they can do with it.
Yeah, and what do you have to lose? I mean, this is the closest thing to an actual WordPress-enabled app maker that you can get. So if you've got any kind of chops as far as programming or coding apps, this may be a good framework for you to take a look at.
Yeah, it says the app includes a post page with pull to refresh and infinite scroll, login with custom authentication, which requires an additional plugin. It has static pages, a side menu, a settings page, and app intro. So pretty much all you need right there.
Yes, and I'd love to get this working for the WordPress radio site at WPR.FM that I've got. It would be a neat little thing to be able to just kind of scroll through everybody's archives plus listen to the live stream. That would be kind of a kick. So that's what brought me to it. I know that he only put it out on GitHub just a little bit ago. It hasn't been on that long. So it's something to look at. I thought I'd bring it to the table for everyone.
Excellent. So Marcus, I read quite a few WordPress stories every day, and every now and then, doesn't happen that often, but every now and then I read a story that just sort of makes me think. It just makes me stop, think about things, gives me a different perspective. And I came across a post today that did exactly that and made me feel that way. And first off, congratulations to Pippin Williamson and everyone over there at the team at Easy Digital Downloads, because the e-commerce software has turned 3 years old today. So that's quite the accomplishment. And for those who don't know, Easy Digital Downloads is a free open source e-commerce system for WordPress that was founded, of course, 3 years ago by Pippin Williamson. And so today, Pippin wrote an excellent post sort of that reflects back on the last 3 years of what he's been through. And he describes the experience of those 3 years as some of the highest and lowest points of his life. So he had, within that post, he acknowledges how awesome his team is and the fact that without his team, the product probably wouldn't be anywhere close to what it is today. And so, some in terms of stats, this is sort of mind-blowing. When EDD was first released, it contained around 8,800 lines of PHP, and today EDD has nearly 65,000 lines of PHP. So that's nearly an 800% increase. That's a lot of code.
You ain't kidding. And that's great. I applaud Pippin. It doesn't seem like it's been 3 years. It seems, in some sense, it seems like it's been a staple in the WordPress community for a long time. In other respects, I remember when it came out. So it's something. Pippin's a great ambassador to the community. He's a great podcaster with his show Apply Filters, great programmer, and all around good guy. So I'm very happy for Pippin.
And besides the stats and the growth and all of the good things that are happening over there at Easy Digital Downloads, near the end of his article, he wrote about something that really hit home for me. And that is discussing the impact this digital piece of software has had on the lives of those who work on it. And he shared some personal stories of some of his employees like Dan Griffiths, Chris Kristoff, Sean Davis, and others who are now able to, you know, have a comfortable living thanks to the success of EDD. And one of those stories is Dan Griffiths, who eventually we're going to have here as a guest on the show, because I definitely want to have him tell his story about how he got involved with WordPress. It's sort of on the cusp of what we experienced with Lewis House. But Griffiths was actually homeless for 5 years before he started contributing to Easy Digital Downloads. And after creating a few successful extensions on the marketplace, he ended up finding himself in a community that welcomed him, valued his ideas and contributions. And through his involvement with that project, he was able to move off the streets, become an active contributor to the project, and now he regularly attends WordCamps. So I just find that fascinating. So I asked Williams, I said, you know, how long did it take to come up with the words to describe the impact your product is having on people's lives? And his response was, it took all day. And, you know, and I sat there and I thought about, you know, if I was in your position and I was thinking of this, you know, it would probably take me all day too. It'd probably be really hard to put the impact into words. And, you know, Marcus, I think a lot of times, too often, we focus so much on the products, whether they're successful or whether they fail. And I think we forget about the impact they can have on people's lives, especially monetarily, for both businesses and the staff of these businesses. And at least for Williamson and his team over there, Easy Digital Downloads, the impact is well documented and it's well celebrated. And I got to commend Pippen and his team, everything they're doing over there. I mean, Chris Kristoff has a future now right out of college because of EDD. A few other gentlemen, there's another gentleman over there, Chris Kulowski, I believe his name is. He's going to be able to watch his son grow up, watch him learn how to talk and everything because of the success of EDD. So, you know, it's these types of stories and realizing these types of impacts that these products can have on people that I'm sort of rooting for all of them. I'm rooting for all commercial products in the WordPress ecosystem because I realize they can have these types of impacts on people.
Yes. And not only that, but look at the other end of it. How much in this 3-year time span has EDD affected the livelihood of the users?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How many people able to make a living because it's easy to use or it's free or who knows what else?
Yeah. So it's amazing what you can do in just a short amount of time with a plugin that actually has some good impact within the community. And EDD is definitely one of those.
So I'm definitely going to have that post linked up to in the show notes. And, you know, I was thinking about this too. There's a lot of people that make up the WordPress ecosystem, the community. It's global, it's international. And I don't put anybody up on a pedestal or anything else. But in the past few years, and this post sort of highlighted this for me, as in WordPress community, we have so many different titles for so many different people, you know, WordPress rock stars, ninjas, you know, implementers, the list goes on. But sort of thinking about all of Pippen's contributions to the WordPress community and what he's done with EDD and how he treats his employees and how that translates to his customers and everything he does at WordCamps, and he goes above and beyond to help people. I just think, is there any better title than role model that fits Pippen? Can you think of anything else? I mean, you said ambassador, and I think that's a pretty good term. But I think if there is to be a really good role model to look up to, you know, to be a good steward of all things that are good in the WordPress community, I think Pippen fits that description.
I do, and he is a role model in just about every way that you can be a role model within the WordPress sphere, right? He helps with the plugin repository. He creates plugins. He's a podcaster. He's a blogger. What is it that he doesn't do? He's WordPress Superman.
Yes, I mean the debate's still out on whether he's human or Android. I mean, I'm thinking Android, but you know, I don't know. We'll see.
And you know what? You reminded me of something. Speaking of anniversaries, today is officially my 10th. 10 years ago today is when I released my very first podcast.
Oh wow! You've been podcast history here.
Yeah. So I forgot all about 415 being the day that I started podcasting back in 2005, sitting in Chicago wondering if this thing was worth it. And would I have ever thought that 10 years later it would be so much worth it? And
not only so much worth it, but seeing all these articles saying podcasting's back, baby, and why you should get into it.
I mean, it never left.
Well, yeah, it never left. I mean, it sort of came out with the Apple iPod, the first Apple iPod, and then we started getting these things called podcasts, and there was this relationship between this audio file recording on everyone's iPod. So I guess they called it podcasts or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But really, in reality, there was no really direct connection or trademark or whatever else between the two. Leo Laporte really jumped on the bandwagon, and a lot of other early folks such as yourself got involved with the whole podcasting thing. And then it sort of died down a bit. But now, as we've talked about earlier, every radio show turns their live broadcast into a podcast. All your mainstream celebrities and personalities have podcasts. And thanks to technology and WordPress and plugins and services out there, podcasting seems to be getting a bit easier for people. And more people are sort of at least jumping in or putting their toes into the water, seeing what it's all about. So it might have went away a little bit. I mean, it never fully went away. It just sort of died down. But now it feels like there's a renaissance going on in podcast.
Yeah. And interestingly enough, this kind of segues into another segment, which is there was for anybody who listens to Adam Carolla or any of those other shows, he had a big hubbub about the patent trolls, that there was a huge case where somebody supposedly patented podcasting
back
in 1996. Well, a ruling came out. It was ruled on in December, but the ruling was just released. And the Electronic Frontier Foundation funded most of this. Ironically, though, the main lawyers for Google, Netflix, and Amazon were the ones who actually did the arguing. Imagine that. But the patent specified that the patent owners or holders owned the concept of internet-based episodic content, including podcasting. And that would include Netflix, that would include YouTube, that would include anything.
That would include people just doing personal, people doing 5-minute recordings.
Yes, absolutely. So the ruling was that technology, that method of delivery is unpatentable, which means you cannot patent that. They revoked the patent of that particular holder. And so now there are no patent trolls. There is no infringement as far as making podcasts.
And the company responsible for this is Personal Audio LLC, and really became big news in 2013, which involved, of course, Adam Carolla. And the EFF showed that Personal Audio did not invent anything new before it filed its patent application. And in fact, other people were podcasting for years previously. So there's a lot of things to – they say there's a lot of things to celebrate here, but that the issue is not done yet. They said Personal Audio, man, what a they're continuing to seek patents related to podcasting. So it looks like they're trying to find some way to come up with a different patent to go after people. So kudos to the EFF for continuing to fight for the little man and the big people. It's just ridiculous being able to patent something that was already invented before you came up with the patent. I mean, I'm glad the judge ruled in the EFF's favor.
Definitely. So it's a victory. Victory for everybody.
Yes, it is. It's a victory. One battle has been won, but the war is still going.
Right.
So with that, one of the last things I wanted to talk about today before we get into some of the plug-in picks of the week is that, you know, there's some of these major media outlets, for whatever reason, like TechCrunch, VentureBeat, they'll write about WordPress or they'll write about Automattic and they'll get some things wrong. Sometimes it's just doing a lowercase p in WordPress. That's not too bad. But the thing that really irks me is when they say Automattic, the parent company of WordPress. And that's something that irks me, and I think it irks a lot of other people. And you might be thinking to yourself, well, why? Why is that such a big deal? Because there are hundreds of people that volunteer their time and effort to patching bugs, working on features in WordPress. There is no central ownership. There is no company that owns the WordPress.org open source project. Automattic devotes a lot of time, effort, and resources to the open source project, but they do not own it. And they are not the parent company of WordPress. They are the parent company of WordPress.com. They are not interchangeable. And I wish big media companies, these established ones, like the TechCrunches and the VentureBeats and some of these other ones would – oh, I wish they would get that right, because every time they do that, it's like a slap in the face to the, even if they don't admit it, it's like a slap in the face to thousands of people who put their work to a free and open source independent software project that all of a sudden is being reported as, no, it's actually a corporate, an owned entity by a corporation, which is not true. And I, you know, it's just sort of my pet peeve out there to, my little rant here as someone who writes about WordPress for a living, and I come across this all the time, to just, I wish they would stop doing it. You know, Automattic is the parent company of WordPress.com, and that's it.
Well, then, okay, let's set the record straight then. How do you want that referred to in TechCrunch and all the rest of them? How what's the good sentence to use as far as what Automattic's relationship is to WordPress?
Well, most of the time they're talking about an acquisition that Automattic has made, or they're talking about a service or something to that effect. So the easiest thing to say is Automattic, parent company of WordPress.com, acquired so-and-so or did so-and-so. Or CEO Matt Mullewig, CEO of Automattic, the parent company of WordPress.com. And that's, it's that simple. That way they're establishing that there's that distinct relationship, which there is, between Automattic and WordPress.com, now Automattic and WordPress.org. When they say just WordPress, that really confuses, that really confuses the line there, blurs the line. And now I'm thinking, well, okay, I guess that means WordPress.com and WordPress.org, which is not true.
I think you're probably one of the few that care about that, but I hear you, and I got your point.
I am probably one of the few that care about it, but I mean, if I was working on, if I was working on WordPress and I was contributing code to it and I kept seeing it referred to as Automattic's product, I got to tell you, man, I'd be a little peeved off, you know, because I'm sitting here thinking, you know, hey, it's an independent open source project. I'm devoting my time to it on my own goodwill, and that's all fine and dandy. Nothing changes. But it seems like this connotation, you know, there's so many people out there who think Automattic owns WordPress. And it's just not true. Of course, the whole WordPress.com, WordPress.org thing in general is just a big cluster, you know what, and it's probably will never change. But you know, it's still the big large media outlets could do their part to get their crap together and report things the right way instead of confusing people.
Well, aren't you even happy that they mentioned WordPress? Well, they could have just said Automattic.
Hey, Automattic, that's fine too. I mean, because okay, usually it's about Automattic. Automattic made an acquisition, or Automattic did this, or Automattic did that. You know, fine, yeah, keep WordPress out of it. That's probably even better.
Well, that means Automattic needs to have a second, you know, a second banana as far as another really popular, cool, hip thing.
Well, I don't know. So I just wanted to go on my rant there. In fact, I even wrote a guide for the media outlets out there. Yeah, go me. It's a quick reference guide for those writing about WordPress, and it has about 13 or 14 tips on things to make sure you get correct. It includes a little bit of history, what it's all about. Automattic has two T's, not just one. And here's another one. You know, and this doesn't help either, that Matt Mullewig is, he's got his foot in this thing and that thing. I mean, he's the CEO of Automattic. He's the founder of the nonprofit WordPress Foundation. He's the occasional lead developer for the open source WordPress project. And then he's owner of investment company Audrey. So, I mean, that doesn't help because nobody knows, you know, what his real role is or what he's doing. He's in everything. So, yeah. So there's that. But so I set the record straight. I'll have that link up in the show notes. Pretty nice guide. I've been referring people to it now. But apparently no one's reading it. So I don't know. Maybe you're right. Maybe I'm one of the few that care about it, but
at least you care. That's a good thing.
Yeah. At least I care, baby. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So with all that said, that's about, it's going to do it for this week's news. Let's see. Why don't you, I see we got a couple good plug-in picks of the week here. So why don't we roll into that?
All right. Well, the first one off the top here is called Custom Post Type Calculator. It allows you to create a multi-purpose category-based calculator and use it to calculate item amounts, values, anything like that. And I found it to be useful as something that if somebody wanted to, say, pick a couple particular services or a couple different options and then get a quote based on that, you could have this calculate exactly what the bottom end of their quote is going to be. Really cool functionality that didn't already exist. You can do things like this within Gravity Forms and other stuff, but to do it amongst different custom post types, that's pretty unique. So I thought this was worth bringing to light. It's called Custom Post Type Calculator. The next one, this is pretty cool. It's called Time Lord. It allows you to make mods to your content based on time parameters. And that's nothing new, but here's the really cool thing about it. It allows you to show or hide part of a post at a given point in the future and calculate the time and age and all that stuff in between. So, Jeff, if you did an article and say paragraph one was completely visible, but maybe paragraph two was something that didn't come out until a day from now, paragraph three, maybe 2 days from now, it would automatically update it so that it would know, it would check the date and the time to see if it was cool to publish that little section of the post. And you can expire it as well so that you can have kind of a limited time. So say if you wanted something to only be posted this week and then next week, get rid of this. That saves you from having to go back and edit the post again. So you can just say, turn it off or turn it on at this day and time and turn it off, hide it at this day and time. Pretty cool plugin called Time Lord.
Well, I'm trying to figure out a good use case for this, but I who can't like a plugin named Time Lord?
Yes. Well, a good use for it would be tickets go on sale tomorrow at 9 a.m. And you go ahead and put the module in there in the form for somebody to sign up for tickets. But you say, okay, don't put this particular part of the post out until 9 a.m. on that particular day. And then close it off. Close it off on this time. And then underneath it, you could say, all right, when that one on top is closed, raise the price and make it this as far as in the form or the sign up or something like that. So pretty interesting kind of evolution that you can do for maybe like a timeline of things to reveal within the post. That's what Time Lord does.
Okay. So I wonder if we have like short code or whatever else that has a timer or whatever, you know, maybe the form on a certain page within the contents in the middle of the content, and that's what you use to purchase tickets. Maybe you could set it up in Time Lord where that shows up between 9 and 5, and then it disappears, and it just disappears automatically so people aren't going to a form and getting an error or realizing tickets are sold out.
That's exactly what it does.
Okay. All right. Yeah, okay. I can see a couple different uses for it now.
Yeah. And finally, this plugin is done by David Kramer from South Africa. He's the one that made the Caldera short code engine, which is one that I use on every single WordPress installation I have. Industry Night show, I interviewed him, so you can go to the tavern and Google that.
It's still there.
Yep. This one is called Plugin Groups. Now, Jeff, you're already familiar with what plugin groups
yes,
are.
Yes, I am.
Because they are things like update available, recently installed, right? Those types of things, active, inactive. Those are set plugin groups. Well, now you can create your own. You can create something like form plugins or sliders, anything like that. If you had multiple different kinds of the same plugin on one installation, you can group them all together and just in one click, see all of those things. So maybe you want to put a test group and put a bunch of new plugins in there under the test. It allows you to, with one click, just to see only those plugins. Pretty cool plugin.
Yeah. So we did I actually featured this on the Tavern a few days ago, and it's a pretty neat little plugin. It's a plugin that organizes plugins.
Yes.
we're getting a little meta there, but it's pretty cool. I mean, this could really come in handy for e-commerce sites, and you're using, what, 10 extensions to get what you really want out of an e-commerce site.
Right.
Well, now you can create a group, name it so-and-so extensions. You could add all those extensions into the group, and then when you go to the plugins management page, which, you know, is just a listing of all your plugins, you'll see a new filter at the top, with the title of the group. And when you click on it, you'll only see those plugins in that group. It's a very convenient way of browsing and managing plugins. It's pretty nifty.
Yeah, and it's funny because I told David on Skype, I'm like, yeah, I talked about your plugin on the WordPress Plugins A to Z show, and I'm going to talk about it on WordPress Weekly. And he replied back, dude, I only made that last night. So he's getting some quick impact from his weekend plugin creation sessions. And I think it's a fantastic one. David's always made some really cool plugins, and this certainly is amongst those.
Yeah, and it, when you add groups, you could drag the groups around to organize them. Now, the one thing I noticed during my testing is that when you click the save button, there's no like visual notification. There's no indication that things are saved. So I already let David Kramer know that. I put the feedback in my post. And I think what they're going to do is add maybe a little animation, maybe a spinning circle and a checkbox that says, yes, indeed, your changes are saved. But other than that, I mean, the thing works great. It works just as advertised. I couldn't really think of any, you know, additional features to add to it. It just works.
Yeah, it's very simple. It's just a different corral to put all of your various plugins in. Now, don't get too crazy. Don't make a group for every two plugins that you have. But if you find a use for it, you want to put a lasso around them and put a tag on it, great, great plugin to do it. And it's called Plugin Groups.
Yeah, by Caldera WordPress, a great company yep. who has a commercial plugin available that lets you edit. They let you edit something. Jeez, let's see. Some really cool plugin they have.
Well, the my favorite one is that Caldera Shortcode Engine, which is also known in the repository as My Shortcodes, and it has free version in the repository. But the pro version of My Shortcodes, which is technically known as Caldera Shortcode Engine, It allows you to create, it's a plugin that creates plugins, as strange as that sounds.
There we go. We have a plugin that manages plugins, and now we have a plugin that creates plugins.
Yes.
Well, so two plugins are made to be with each other.
You can set up, and no wonder he made this group thing, huh?
Yeah.
He had plugins coming out his ears. But it allows you to do PHP, CSS stuff, HTML, any of that stuff. And then you can output it as a plugin. So it's very diverse. I've never outputted anything as a plugin, but it really works well. And the cool thing about it, it's so much different. Now, there's tons of short code makers out there, right? But the difference is with this one is you can actually, within the HTML module, say you're going to make just a short code that's, you know, short code one, okay? And short code one could actually be made up of the HTML that you put in the back end plus another short code inside it. So it's like a short code of a short code. And you're like, well, how does that work? And the way it works is it pre-renders before the post. So the short code engine figures out how to make everything right before it actually displays it within the body of the post. So this guy is amazing, David Kramer.
Well, I hope I wonder how many listeners we lost with the plugins. You create plugins with a short code inside of a short code with the plugins groups to manage groups of plugins that you just created with the plugins and the plugins.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Plugin overdose. Hello. Yes.
So that concludes my plugin picks of the week.
Oh man, thank God we're not doing a plug-in drinking show. Man, we'd be out. There'd be silence here. So that's gonna wrap it up for this week's edition of WordPress Weekly. We're gonna work on getting some pretty cool guests here next week and the week after. I will say that in May we're going to have Scott Kingsley Clark and Josh Pollock on from the Pods team. So far, nice. We haven't really had an episode dedicated to Pods. What it's all about. So we'll bring them on and they'll explain it to us. And we'll also get a chance to ask Scott how his Friends with Pods campaign is going, which Marcus, you said was a horrible idea pretty much, or that it wasn't going to work. So we'll talk to him, see what's going on.
Thanks for reminding him. Yes.
Oh, we're definitely going to get into that. I can't wait. And you'll be able to ask him, you know, you'll be able to give him some feedback, you know, live on air, like you did with Triple J when you asked him, you know, why isn't BuddyPress what it says it is? which, man, may go down as maybe one of the best questions ever on WordPress Weekly. I don't know. We'll see. So outside of that, you can get the show notes for this episode on WPTavern.com. And all previous episodes, you can follow me on Twitter at Jeffro. That's JeffrO0. And Marcus?
Well, I just want to say also, I think Sarah's on Dradcast today. So make sure you check out Sarah on Dradcast. I'm sure that everybody will get a lot out of that. If you're a tavern enthusiast like I am, you know that Sarah Gooding makes tons of cool content, and it'd be nice to hear what she's... She hasn't been on this show in a long time, but great to see that she's on other podcasts as well. And you can contact me at my website, MarcusCouch.com, and also find me on Twitter at MarcusCouch.
Yeah, in fact, she was on Dreadcast, comes on an hour before or an hour and a half before us, and I listened and watched the entire show. She did a good job. It was a pretty good episode. So if you haven't checked it out, definitely check out the latest episode of Dreadcast featuring the one and only Sarah Gooding.
Yes.
Great show. So until next week. Have a safe and enjoyable rest of the week, and enjoy your weekend, and stay safe. We'll talk to you again next week.